Hello and welcome to BBC News School Report from Brannel School. I'm Tom, and over the past few weeks we've been investigating a number of topics which we feel are important to teenagers living in Cornwall.
We were invited to be the guest editors of BBC Radio Cornwall's breakfast show, broadcasting to an audience of 170,000 people. Not that that made us nervous.
So, to our main story today. Radicalisation is a big word which has been used heavily in our news recently, especially since three girls from London ran away from their homes and their schools to Syria.
It's thought social media played a big part in them deciding to leave the country. People our age use social media a lot. So, is Cornwall too complacent when we talk about radicalisation? Could it happen right here in our beautiful county? We asked fellow students what they thought.
How often do you use social media?
In all my spare time.
What social media accounts do you have?
I have Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr.
Why do you use social media?
To connect with friends and family.
How often do you use social media?
Every day.
Facebook, Instagram and Snapchat.
Do you think radicalisation will have an effect on Cornwall?
I think it will affect it bad. Just because we have a smaller population, it doesn't mean that we don't see things posted on social media.
Why do you think the age of people using social media is getting younger?
People are making fake accounts and they think they should be accepted as they are. I think this because people are now being accepted onto loads of social media without really having an age and they're just pretending.
What can Cornish students do to protect themselves while online? We spoke to Jonathan Baggerly, the head of education at the National Crime Agency, CEOP Command. Its role is to keep children safe when they're using the internet and to catch those who try to hurt children via the World Wide Web.
I think social media presents a world of opportunity and possibility for young people to connect with like-minded people, to share their stories, and you know, to learn as well. But I think with all of that opportunity, of course, there are a number of risks as well. And it's really important that young people, wherever they are, know some basic things about how to keep themselves safe when using social media.
Why do you think terrorist groups and other criminals use social media?
Social media can give access to young people in a way that's never been available before. So criminals and people who want to hurt young people are able to perhaps sometimes use the anonymity or the perceived anonymity of social media to perhaps pretend to be other people, to try to trick young people perhaps into doing things that they don't want to do or into telling young people things which perhaps they're not ready to be exposed to. So I think whilst social media presents, you know, huge opportunities for young people, it does present some opportunities for criminals to take advantage of young people.
What could we do to prevent ourselves from being exposed to the videos and pictures that terrorist groups post online?
I think it's really important that young people know how to use the tools that are available online to limit their exposure to things that might upset them, whether that's terrorist material or whether that's other, you know, adult material like pornography. And there's a range of tools, things like Safe Search that you can turn on to make sure that in your search results, this kind of material doesn't come up. It's also about knowing how to report material that you find offensive. So if you're using a social network, knowing how to report different types of material, because that way you don't just keep yourself safe from that material, you can also protect your friends as well.
How can we be sure we know who we're talking to is who they say they are?
I think it's really hard to know that people really are who they say they are. You know, even if you've been chatting to the same person for ages and you feel like you know them, it is really easy to lie on the internet. Even if you're talking to someone on webcam, it's hard to know, perhaps not just that they are who they say they are, but also that they're not trying to trick you. So I think, you know, some basic things, just sort of thinking about what are they saying about themselves? Are they perhaps too good to be true? Are they, you know, flattering you a lot, very quick to try to, you know, say really nice things about you? You know, importantly, things that young people should be aware of is if someone meets you in a public place on the internet, like in a chat room or in a game, and then tries to take you into a more private place like instant messaging or perhaps on a mobile app where they'd be able to build more of a one-to-one communication. The most important thing is to know where to go if you are concerned that someone isn't who they say they are, or if they're trying to trick you. And in that case, you should always talk to an adult that you trust, or you can report people to us at CEOP and we can investigate.
How much responsibility should adults take for what their children are doing online?
I think that adults in schools, parents, and in government and the police all have a responsibility to do what they can to make sure that young people know how to keep themselves safe online, but also that they can intervene if young people are getting into difficult situations. I think, the internet industry has a responsibility as well to make sure that the services that young people are using are as safe as they possibly can be. So I think it's really important that adults take that responsibility seriously and help young people keep the internet fun. Because as I say, internet technologies are fantastic things for young people, and we just have to make sure that we can continue to enjoy them safely.
That's Jonathan Bagley from the National Crime Agency's CEOP Command.
Hi, we're Jolien and Vicky, and you're listening to BBC News School Report from Brannel School. It's 49 days until the general election, and you can't fail to notice the local candidates are certainly becoming a lot more visible.
Yesterday, we had a hustings event asking why, after 20 years of European structural funding for Cornwall, we are not seeing more choice and opportunity. Jolien and I went along.
It's Brannel against the big wigs of politics. Our local MP alongside the men who want his job.
Plus a comedian. Let's hear what the topics are.
What are you doing to prevent kids from getting into gangs and smoking and drinking and getting into clubs?
From the Liberal Democrats, Stephen Gilbert.
There is an issue in some of our rural communities, villages like Nampean, villages like Whitemore, villages like St Dennis perhaps, where there isn't very much to do in the evenings, and often the young people who live in those villages feel a little bit isolated. You depend on your mum or dad or your guardian to take you to and from other places where there might be a sports club. And what the Liberal Democrats are saying at this election is that it's not only older people in our community who should have free bus passes. We need to make it easier for younger people to get round rural communities too.
For the Conservatives, Steve Double.
One of the things that I think that we need more of is hope and aspiration for young people. They have a vision for the future, they have some aspirations for their future, and they can focus on something really positive for the future. One of the things that really concerns me is the low expectations of being able to get a good job in this area and have a career locally. And that's something that I think we need to work on much, much more, particularly in this part of Cornwall.
You've said about youth clubs, but in my knowledge, youth club attendance hasn't been that high. What are you going to do to build the attendance up?
Ban Xboxes.
What are you going to do with all of the buildings that have been boarded up? Instead of building new ones, which is costing quite a fair bit, could we use the old boarded up buildings for whatever they're needed?
For Labour, Brendan Parkinson.
We're not protecting the environment. We're not respecting local people's views on keeping the building programme within areas that are in the best interest of the...
I think this is happening everywhere. It drives everyone bonkers. But I think we've got to pin down why that keeps happening.
It's profit, Ed.
And I get lots of people saying to me, Kerrigan, what do you think about these developments? Exactly what this young man said, he was bang on. So why does it keep happening? It's about profit, but why is it about profit? You know, we've got to get to the end of that story, and we've got to put a stop to it, I think. And yeah, as this young man said, start using sites that are appropriate, stop building over green fields. I'm going to hand this bit over to Dick, because I think this is all tied together.
Ooh, the students think that's a hot topic. Look at their arms shooting up to ask questions.
We knew that devolution would come up in this debate with this panel.
Maybe in Kernow's leader, Dick Cole.
Yeah, maybe in Kernow's campaigning for devolution, which is basically to have decisions about Cornwall made in Cornwall. And what's happening at the moment is the decisions made by local councils, local politicians, most of the rules have been set in Westminster by politicians who live in London who have no idea what it's like to live in Cornwall and certainly have no idea what it's like to live in Clay Country.
For the Green Party, Steve Slade.
A lot of the problem that we've got is that the people that own these buildings that are derelict, sometimes they think it's not worth their while knocking it down now and building on it now. They can just sit on the land and the land will go up in value and it will just keep rising and rising. And we're stuck with derelict buildings all over the place. So we need to bring in a law that we could do through Cornwall if we control things here. that they have to pay a value on. If any value of that land goes up, then we tax them for it. So it makes it not worth their while to sit on derelict buildings anymore.
We Brownell students have strong views.
Imagine the power we'll have when we're old enough to vote.
And who will vote for me? Yes! Free pasties on Fridays! Yes! Come on, let's do it!
That was Brownell School's political debate. You're listening to BBC News School Report with Ellie and Tom. Much is said about the Cornish identity. It's strong.
It passes through generations.
And it gives us a sense of belonging. I think it's a bit like supporting Manchester United. There are millions of supporters around the world who all connect with the team.
Right, Tom. So it got us wondering, can you identify with being Cornish if you're not from here? We decided to investigate.
Once down in Albert Square, I never shall forget.
It's a controversial topic, what makes you Cornish?
But having a sense of Cornish identity is a different thing. There is no doubt Brownell's senior teacher, Mr. Carpenter, feels lucky to be born in Cornwall.
I think we've got a very unique identity in Cornwall, and certainly something that's been passed on through the generations of my family is to be proud of who I am and what I am. I think we're very special people as well. I think we're very kind, we're very caring, we're very open to people as well. So that's why I'm proud to be Cornish.
People not born in Cornwall also feel that connection with this beautiful county. Katie's just moved here from Scotland.
I've noticed, like, about the Cornish identity, that it's very, like, everyone knows everyone and there's a lot of people working on the land. There's a big sense of community in it.
Right, boys and girls, let's get ready to scrouse some pilchards. I want you to take out the pilchards from the packets and place them in the middle of the pastry.
We're making stargazy pie, but we're making it as Brannell's gazy pie because it's not actually a pie. It contains 7 different types of fish, and they make it because a couple of years ago, they didn't have any food in the village, so this man went out on the boat with his cat, and he brought back 7 different types of fish, so they made it into a big pie with a head and tail sticking out, and it's named Stargazer Pie because of, on that night, once the storm had stopped, the sky was just covered in stars.
Being Cornish isn't only about how you feel, it's about what you eat. That's the message community chef Sanjay Kumar gave Brannell's Year 7s.
I wasn't born here, but it gives me an immense pleasure to know that Cornwall and its past goes back centuries, and it is nice to bring it back into fashion and tell people how great this place is by looking at it from outside the box.
Our investigation made us realise that whether you're Cornish-born like our PE teacher, Miss Williams...
Well, I love Cornwall. I love going to the beach in the summer. I really enjoy surfing and getting out in the countryside. I think it's a beautiful place to live.
Or have moved here like Lamar.
I've been living in Bristol and we thought that coming down to Cornwall would be a better place in general because we thought the people here are better than the people in Bristol.
Being part of the Cornish life is very important to who we are.
Here's 20,000 Cornish men, we'll know the reason why.
From Cornish identity to Cornish politics to the Cornish use of social media, we've investigated the stories on BBC News School Report Day.
As guest editors of BBC Radio Cornwall, we also got to co-present The Breakfast Show with James Churchfield and Debbie McCrory. That was fun.
Now, it's been BBC News School Report Day today. We've been hearing from the youngsters from Brannell School at St Stephen. They're back with us. I know, Phoebe, if you'd like to get a little close to the microphone as well, you were one of the first people that we were hearing from this morning. What have you enjoyed about being part of School Report?
I really enjoyed interviewing all the different people and especially interviewing Jonathan Bagley and hearing his thoughts on social media and why terrorist groups decide to use social media.
Yeah, well, we've all learnt something this morning. Thank you very much for that. And you were telling me as well off air that your science class, they're going to be doing experiments tomorrow during the eclipse. So you've got some glasses then, have you, to sort yourselves out?
Yeah. Not for long. Not when I get hold of them, I can tell
you. Hold tight onto them. Well, youngsters, thank you very much for being with us this morning. It's been fantastic to hear your perspective on those subjects. And I'm so pleased that people have been enjoying listening to what you've been doing for us. From all of those that have been involved in BBC School News Report this morning, goodbye.
Goodbye.
We hope you've enjoyed Brannell School's broadcast for BBC News School Report.